This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, in this half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmels Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Thrilled with my buying experience there. Ended up with exactly what I wanted. Kind of went back and forth on a couple of things, but I ended up exactly what I wanted because they worked to make it happen. And the full experience, including the financing and everything else that went with it, was outstanding. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It's Ask Anything Day, and we've had some great questions so far. I always find this to be fun. Like I said, I love talking to people, like listening to them, and it's always an important part of the job, listening to people. You're not just, if you're just in your own world, just spouting off what you think or whatever. It's no, you got to listen to people, see what's on their mind. Dennis Dodd wrote another really good column, and there's something. It's always, you know, it's always fun when you, like things that we've thought of and talked of. All right, well, I've talked about one of the casualties of the Pac-12 dissolution would be the officials. And how many officials would need to be picked up by the Big Ten to do this in football? There are 64 officials in the Pac-12 last season. They worked in eight crews of eight. That includes the replay, right? It's eight crews of eight, right, all the way through. CBS Dennis was able to get a hold of 55 of the 64. 32 of them have been hired by FBS leagues, including 16 of them by the Big Ten. Eight of the 55 are going to go to the Mountain West, Conference USA, and the American conferences. Two have retired. Two ended up being hired by the NFL. 19 of them stayed with the Pac-12 to populate three crews that will work Oregon State and Washington State games this season. So the Big Ten, between replay and on-field, picked up 16 of those officials. So about 25% of them, which makes sense because they ended up picking up one-third of the league, so they'd pick up some of the officials that go with it. Same thing as in basketball, but there were only a couple of these guys that were already starting to work in the Big Ten. You know, some of them signed on after the 22 season. Some of them were part of the 23 season. And I saw some guys last year in basketball that I know worked on the West Coast. There's always a lot that goes into it, and you have to think about all of it at some point.
Okay. I will say this is the first time I thought about the officials part of it. That's something that...
I brought it up last year, Todd, and the only reason I brought it up happened to be like, hey, look, you may hit on a weekend between a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday where you're going to need, 52 officials in basketball? Right? Or no, my apologies. You're going to need, let's see how many games could possibly be played. Nine. Yeah, you can play nine games in a weekend. You'll need 27 of them. And then in football, if everybody's playing on a given weekend, and I haven't looked to see if there's a spread out of games, but you could need as many as 72 officials in a football weekend if everybody's playing. There'd be nine games. You'd need 72 of them. Basketball, right? You could need as many as 27 in a weekend. And you really don't want to say, you know, I mean, I guess it's possible to work the game on Friday and then work the game Sunday. And I do see guys that work games one night and they're there the next. I mean, I remember, I'm not going to get into the name of the official. It is a person I personally like. So it's this is not a knock on them. But the comment would be they had worked the game in Dayton because Dick and I were watching the game. So we're watching the game, and all of a sudden we look out and go, don't we have that guy tomorrow? Like, yeah. He worked the game in Dayton, and the game the next day was in Madison at noon. So, in other words, 11 o'clock local time. And to be honest with you, with a minute to go, he made a call. It was like... And then eventually after there was a timeout, we're in the timeout, Dick and I looked at each other and said, I wonder if fatigue played a role in that call. Now, I mean, you do worry about that, especially the later the season goes.
I was going to say, they run those veteran guys ragged sometimes.
Yeah, but they're independent contractors, Todd, so they run themselves ragged in doing it. In other words, they can turn down an assignment as an independent contractor. I can't make it. And I remember there was a game a year ago in Lincoln where a guy who's advanced deep in the NCAA tournament many times, so he's considered to be a really good official, but he works about 100 games today. I mean, during a season, that's about how many he'll work. And he did a game at Clemson the day before. And the game in Lincoln, it was a Sunday, so he did a game at Clemson on a Saturday in the afternoon. The game at Lincoln was in the afternoon. Well, how the heck did he get there? First of all, Clemson has an airport, but it's a 4,000-foot runway, so you're not gonna fly out of there to get anywhere unless you're using a Piper Cub. So you've got to get a car, whether he's driving it or whether he gets a driver, to take him to Spartanburg, Greenville. And then where do you go from there? Do you go to Charlotte? Do you go to Atlanta? And then eventually you got to go to Chicago. And then in Chicago, you got to go to Lincoln. Right. When are you sleeping? And he made a call. And again, I'm not going to name names. We're not going to name names. I'm going to talk about circumstances. He made a call on a foul on Seth Lundy fouling Kisei Tominaga on a three-point shot. And literally, the closest Seth was about a foot away from him. It happened right in front of us. We're looking at his, like, foul? He's a foot away from him. I'm talking like they're both in the air, and Seth put his hand up. Tominaga comes down and kind of stumbled when he came down. And he was so far out, Seth came out, but he was a full foot away from him, if not a foot and a half, and he called a shooting foul, three shots. We're like, what the heck? And then we're in a commercial break, and I say, yeah, Dick, I mean, probably shouldn't bring it up. I mean, he was in Clemson yesterday. And we know how difficult it is to get to and from Clemson. I've done games down there. Like, really? And this was in February, so it's later in the year. They're not as rested anymore. It's been a grind, which I understand. It's a grind. But you see mistakes like that that are just like, not like bang, bang, split second. It is one of those, like, how could you possibly miss that? And that's where we talk about independent contractors. They're independent contractors. They can say no, but the money is hard to turn down. In a few months' time, you can make a salary that is, if you do it right, it's phenomenal. Especially if you're one of the top people out there. And some of these officials are working in basketball. Some are getting close to 100 games a year. In fact, I can even look it up. I can tell you right now from last year. Where is it here? I actually have the numbers. Because that's one thing Ken Pom does. Miscellaneous. Referee ratings. There we go. I don't worry about referee ratings. Log in. Keep going. Jeffrey Anderson, Jeffrey Anderson, quality guy, worked 100 games last year, including the national championship game. Terry Oglesby worked the national title game, 96. Doug Sermons worked 108 games last year. Last one we worked was the regional final. Roger Ayers is always in the top five in terms of number of games. He worked 108. Keith Kimball worked 109. Kip Kissinger worked 113 games last season. Ron Groover worked 113. Tony Padilla worked 99. DJ Carsonson, 83. Don Daly, 81. Brian Dorsey, 83. Bert Smith worked 99. Brooks Wells, and Brooks is a really good young official. And I told Terry that, who's in charge of the Big Ten officials. I said, you got a winner there in him. 102 games. Paul Sells, whom I have great respect for, 89. Earl Walton, who I think the world of, is 80. 80 games. Doug Shouse, 84. James Breeding, 78. Marcus Pettigrew, 85. John Gaffney was one of the great guys out there, 90. Pat Adams, 78. Ray Natilli at 92. Lee Cassell, 99 games. Tony Chiazza, 97 games. I mean, you've got two guys at 113 games, Kip Kissinger and Ron Groover. That includes the tournament, too. Keith Kimball, 109. Roger Ayers, 108. Doug Sermons, 108. And Jeffrey Anderson, 100. Really? A lot of games. I announced 31 of them last year.
My referee's little story is maybe 98. It would have been when Marcus Camby was still at UMass.
Mm-hmm.
Southern was supposed to play Pius X, and we had a horrible time trying to get a hold of the Pius X football coach for a preview. And yeah. The reason why is the Hall of Fame game was the opener. Like, it was the Wednesday night before the Southern Pius X game. He was reffing the UMass-Kentucky game. That's why we couldn't get a hold of him.
Oh, that's a good reason why. That's a good reason why. That's a lot of games. Now, remember, all these guys working these number one games, right? I gave you a list that included the top 20 guys. In terms of how they grade it out. I mean, Anderson did the national championship game. Oglesby did the national championship game. Roger Ayers did the national championship game. So...
I'm assuming the other games are non-Big Ten games. Are they allowed to be... officials for, like, count as officials as for other conferences? Could they be Big 12 officials too?
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They're independent contractors. So if you're a Big 10 football official, Bill Carollo also does assignments for the Mid-American Conference. So you might get a little bit like, hey, you know, Mike and Bob worked the Mac game on Tuesday, Wednesday when Maction's taking place. And you know what? We actually need them through either injury or circumstance to work the Big Ten game on Saturday someplace or Friday night. Yeah, they can do things like that. In this, these guys can work the Summit, the Horizon, the MAC, the Big 12, SEC. You are not, these guys are not, pigeonholed into one conference. Now, the power conferences like the Big Ten, they pay more. So you're going to try and work as many games as possible working for the Big Ten as opposed to working games in the Horizon. Right? And Brian O'Connell, for example, does a lot with the Big East. Well, Brian, but Brian does other games too. He does America East, Northeast Conference, things like that. But if the Big East calls him, you know darn well he's going to take that job. They pay the most.
What is a game check for a referee in college, Big Ten?
Big Ten game check for a referee? Well, you know, are you talking about excluding expenses and things like that?
Yeah, like around here after you officiate. Well, I don't know if they still do it like that, but, you know, they just used to hand you your $65 check before the game started.
It's more than $65.
I assumed it was more than $65.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the PIAA is more than $65 these days.
Yeah. I think it's up in it's. I think it's up near the $5,000 range now per game.
Ooh.
It's right around there. And
that's not a bad little side gig.
No, it's incredible. That's what I mean. You're going to end up, these guys making legitimate money, maybe like big money, before it's all said and done to do something like that. So it's like somewhere in the $4,000 to $5,000 range per game, and that doesn't include expenses.
No, and as somebody who was an independent contractor a long time, you also had to do all your own taxes, take all your own taxes out, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have an accountant for that, though.
Sure. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Steve Jones. Join me on Wednesday, August 7th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the 33rd annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Get your four-person scramble team together to support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. There are loads of prizes, including hole-in-one, closest to the flag, longest drive, and more. Call 570-556-4191 to get registered, and then join me and Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation Wednesday, August 7th at the 33rd annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
With us on the show today, half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors. So if you're a Division II referee,
You'll make about $200 to $500 per game. Okay. If you are a Division I referee, you make between $1,000, depending on your league, and $3,000 per game. And the Big Ten pays the $3,000. Now, it could be a little higher depending on your experience. And the same thing in football, they're getting $3,000 a game. Okay. And they're all independent contracts. Now, if you end up being a Big Ten football official, you're going to do Big Ten games. You play once a week. Okay? They're not taking the Friday night crew, and they're not going to be there Saturday. Like I said, every once in a while you can draw from the Mid-American Conference. If injuries or whatever illness happens, you can do that because Bill Carollo runs both. Basketball, they're completely independent contracts. They go to work as many... The top guys are working like five games a week. Five games a week. And it's always interesting when I hear... when there'll be a top officiating crew early in the season for a meaningless, for what appears to be a meaningless game, right? And I'll say, hey, look, they've got to get back in the groove too.
They need game speed stuff like everybody else.
Exactly. That's why they'll do scrimmages. That's why I really get a chance to talk to the guys. Football and basketball is when the scrimmage is over, or maybe even before the scrimmage. Usually wait till after, because I want to ask them about points of emphasis and so forth. You know, and like I said, some of these guys I've gotten a chance to know. And, you know, and they'll give you, you know, and you also, reputations go both ways. You know, they do a great job, but they also know which guys don't get on their case on the air either.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, just because the 4th of July was yesterday doesn't mean you shouldn't stock up for the weekend. It's a long weekend. So go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We've been having some fun today with Ask Me Anything Day. And we've had some very, very interesting questions. And I don't know if we have the king this half hour or not. I did not get in touch with him, so.
Now's the day he'll surprise us.
Well, he calls, he's in. It's fine by me. All right. Somebody came up to me last night and said, who won the hot dog eating contest? I said, geez, I don't know. No idea. Do you watch that?
No, I know. I can answer who didn't. Joey Chestnut.
Yeah,
I don't know who won.
I guess he wasn't there, right?
No, he was banned because I believe he signed an endorsement project with a non-meat hot dog. And violated the Nathan's contract. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, this is already more time than I've ever spent talking about the hot dog eating contest.
The only time I ever spent time talking about it is they say, who won? I said, I don't know. I didn't watch it. Kind of the old Phil Rizzuto and Bill White look down at his scorecard and he sees BB, bases on balls, sees K, 6-3, and then he sees WW and he looks over and goes, WW? What does WW mean? Rizzuto looks at him and says, wasn't watching. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Great story, by the way. StateCollege.com by Russell Frank. And Russell's an excellent writer. And Spencer Bivens from State College. Spencer Bivens, okay, is somebody who's had to wind his way through everything to get where he is today. We'll get where he is today in a moment. Bivens is somebody who always has had talent, but he didn't play for a major college. He was not drafted. He was not signed by a major league team. And played on, really, let's face it, as Russell correctly puts it, at the very fringes of the baseball world for most of his 20s. Well, he ends up making a start against the Dodgers last week. He starts. And he faces Ohtani. Strikes out Ohtani twice and then retires him. And Ohtani went 0-for-3 against him. I mean, it's really remarkable. He went 5 innings. He allowed 4 hits, 1 run. And Mike Kruko, who's himself a major leaguer, but an outstanding Hall of Fame broadcaster, in my opinion, said, quote, post-game on the Giants TV network, Bivens was spectacular. I won't forget this game because of how good Bivens was. And then Bob Melvin, he said, I think everybody got goosebumps when he struck out Ohtani. David Villar, the first baseman of the Giants, called it a once-in-a-lifetime moment. And Bivens, after the game, said, to be honest, I've been waiting my whole life to start a major league game. So Russell texting him, worth the wait, eh? He says, took way longer than expected, but absolutely. Good for him. It's a great story. So far, he's had 6 games, 2 wins, and a 2.57 ERA. How about that?
I Googled him while you were talking, and it sounds like if you can see the Giants game tonight, he'll probably be throwing actually tonight because he is the bulk guy behind the opener tonight.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. It's a really great story. And thrilled for him. Just thrilled. It's always fun to see stuff like that happen. Now you can throw out the phone number again if anybody else wants to join in. That'd be great.
570-743-9565.
743-9565. 743-9565. All right, so... And if you want, we can throw out the suit cell number just to harass him. What? What?
I don't think he's in the building today, so it would be fun to just start calling him while he's like at the pool or something.
So here you go. Here's his cell number.
Imagine he's listening somewhere, hoping we're kidding at this point.
Don't do that! Don't do that!
I'm calling from the U.S. Olympic Committee. You have won tickets to the Paris Olympics, including travel.
Bad? That would be bad.
He passed away last year, but our old sports editor and his wife never missed. Went to, oh man, I bet every Olympics since Atlanta.
Well, the legendary Olympic historian John Lucas, whom I had the privilege of knowing for decades, was so renowned in the Olympic world that the International Olympic Committee, every Olympiad, Summer Olympiad, would allow him to run a couple of miles on the track. How about that? I mean, that, you know, that's how much, you know, they respected him. They were like, hey, thanks for everything you've done. Hey, you know, we'll let you run a couple, 3-4 miles on the track. John was an avid runner. So, you see that now. Hello? We're calling from Paris? He'd be going crazy. Hi, this is Roger Penske. We'd like to give you free tickets to be in the pits for the Indianapolis 500. He's still mad that I've gone to the track and he's never been there. Okay. So, we head into the weekend. It's not a heavy sports weekend. I mean, you know, there's a golf tournament going on. Wimbledon is into the first weekend. Baseball's kind of percolating along. The Phillies have been great.
They're at Atlanta tonight in a fairly important series.
And I believe Paul Skeens goes tonight. Let me just see here. Yep, Skeens is pitching tonight against the Mets in Pittsburgh. So that should be... I think that game might... I wouldn't doubt they end up getting close to selling that game out. I mean, look, the Mets are playing great. They're 14 games back of the Phils. Kidding.
That's probably the only game you'll be able to watch around here tonight is the Pirates game. I believe the Phillies-Braves game tonight is on Apple TV Plus if you have it.
Oh, man. Look, I know why they did it. I got it. Because what they did was when ESPN cut back on its schedule and the new contract, because there's no longer Wednesday night baseball, or anything, right? They didn't have to pay as much money. So Major League Baseball wanted to get its money back. That's why they ended up creating this Apple TV package, which ironically is the exact same number as the money lost from the ESPN contract. And it's just, I saw one broadcast and it just is, all right. I realize everybody tries to put their own touch on something, but in a profession which has been done for decades and decades and decades, it doesn't mean you can't always look for best practices. You should always, always look for best practices. But don't feel like you have to reinvent the wheel either. All right? Don't act like you have to reinvent the wheel when it comes to a broadcast. It doesn't mean you can't find, right, a great broadcast, you know, a touch that you throw in there. I mean, even something, let's go something as simple as, like, well, it's 30 years old now. When Fox did the Fox Box for the first time, what are you doing? Now, of course, it's a staple. Everybody uses it. That's the kind of innovation that you sit there and go, hey, somebody was thinking and they came up with this and it works. It doesn't mean you can't try something and then realize it doesn't work. And Apple's tried to reinvent the wheel.
I was going to say, you got to attract the kids, Steve. Need the kids.
Yeah, well, I know. Look, I realize that a big part of this is trying to get young people to be excited about the game because everybody's looking for that 18 to 34-year-old market, which then, of course, becomes your 25 to 54 group. Okay? So they're like trying to get as many young people in the 18 to 34 group to get interested in whatever you're doing because those are your future long-term consumers. Okay. I understand that. But this is also the same organization that looked at 42 towns in this country and said, nah, no more minor league baseball for you because we're going to save $1 million a team. Well, who's going to the games? Mom, dad, and kids. Mom, dad, kids. Mom, dad, kids. Wow. I was able to get Pick name, and he's in the major leagues now. I got his autograph when he was playing for Pick small town team. Again, you have to have some common sense when you do this. You can't be, and common sense isn't always the bottom line. In fact, a lot of times the bottom line doesn't lead to common sense. And you talk about attracting, hey, it's all about attracting the kids. Well, instead of like juicing up an Apple TV broadcast on Friday night, why didn't you keep the system you already had in place that was attracting young people to the game because they got to go to the games as kids and get all autographs and pictures?
Because one's sexy and one is not.
Right. Now, one's effective and the other isn't.
And both of those are diametrically opposed.
Yeah, I know. Right? I mean, again, common sense. And we know what Jeff Luhnow kind of fouled things up with the Astros. Well, this minor league thing was his idea, too. Brilliant.
I think he runs a soccer team now.
Community soccer team? No, I'm just kidding. All right, we'll come back more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Hi, this is Steve Jones. Join me on Wednesday, August 7th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the 33rd Annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Get your four-person scramble team together to support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. There are loads of prizes, including hole-in-one closest to the flag, longest drive, and more. Call 570-556-4191 to get registered and then join me and Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation Wednesday, August 7th at the 33rd Annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. By the way, when I said earlier, like some of the officials are getting upwards of 5,000 a game, just so you know, it's not a number I threw out haphazardly. I know what the average is. The average is 3. But Doesn't mean there aren't some that are getting upwards of five. I know enough people where I can say something like that. As we mentioned earlier, and the Phillies have who tonight?
Braves.
The Braves.
They go Braves, Dodgers, A's, All-Star break, Pirates, Twins, Guardians, and then wrap up the month with the Yankees.
Okay.
The schedule's sitting here. That is not off the top of my head.
No, but I'm saying, for the most part, that's a tough schedule.
Man, that Guardians-Yankees six-game stretch is not looking good right now. Or looking fun.
No, it's not. The Guardians, this goes back, I think it was... Was it Tim Kirchner we were talking to?
I believe.
And it's like, they got off to a great start, and guess what? They haven't stopped. They haven't stopped. They've been playing great. You know, nobody's really talking about them because everything's always about, you know, the Yankees won, the Yankees lost, the Dodgers won, the Dodgers lost. Like, it's a big wide world out there. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I saw a couple weeks ago, I always still call it Jacobs Field. Guaranteed Rate Field, I think it is now, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was 30th in home runs last year, and then they did something in the right and center field fence, and they took out, there was like stuff blocking the wind, and now that they've done that, it's like 15th in homers now.
Yeah.
And it's been huge for their offense, and it's Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan now leads the league in hitting.
Yeah. Well, Ramirez has always been a really good player. And, you know, it's... And they're really good. Seattle is great pitching. The hitting's been okay. Rodriguez has not had the greatest year, but their pitching's been good enough to put them in front. And I think that it is, Cleveland is just one of those stories where, again, they are not the team that garners headlines. They're not the ones that are going to draw people to a sports center. They are not the ones who are going to draw, people to a discussion. The Yankees will draw a discussion. Oh, what about Aaron Judge? Oh, what about Juan Soto? Oh, what about Giancarlo Stanton? You know, over and over and over again. Well, guess what? The Guardians are a better team than the Yankees right now, as are the Orioles. They're both better.
And you know, as somebody of a certain age, and you know this as well, the Indians were so bad in the 80s and the early 90s, and they've kind of...
Sure.
They've totally turned that franchise around. I know they have, but they haven't had many losing seasons since Albert Bell and those guys came in like the mid '90s, and they've done a great job of being one of the teams with a little bit lesser money that have been able to build several different contenders over the last 20 years.
Right, and the question is going to be: are they going to be like the Oakland A's under Billy Beane? In other words, a group good enough to get to the playoffs, but not good enough to advance. And that's going to be the question with them as the season goes. And once we get to October, when we get to October, are they that team that can... Because when they played the Yankees, when Judge hit the 63... What did he hit? 62 home runs?
Yeah.
He hit 62 home runs. And they got to the playoffs, and they essentially shut Judge down. But they couldn't advance. And that's what you need to do. You need to have the ability to advance. The Twins had some good teams the last few years, but couldn't finally advance last year, and Texas beat them. But that's with some, they're enough to win the division or make the playoffs, but not good enough to advance. That's going to be the question surrounding the Guardians. They're a really good team, and I actually think they're a team that, based on matchups, good enough to advance. I think Baltimore will be good enough to advance, too.